Heavenly Father, we know how much you love people. We know to what great lengths you did to save us so that we could be with you forever in heaven. And how excited you are about not just us, but many, many others getting to have all eternity in communion with you. Would you just help me right now to talk about evangelism? And would you impart to the hearers a new zeal, a new desire that you share from your heart to bring people into that saving relationship with Jesus Christ? In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning I want to talk to you about evangelism. And after I'm done, Richard's going to add some things as well. But I know that many Christians don't ever share their faith, at least many that I have met. And we want to address that. And I want to just give you some examples of quite natural situations where you can share your faith with somebody. And it doesn't always have to be standing on a street corner with a placard on you that says Jesus saves and, you know, aggressively running after people saying, you know, do you know that you need to know Jesus or you're going to hell? I mean, I think that our media and our culture tries to paint this picture of Christians who share their faith as they're these fanatical, half-crazy individuals that you would be embarrassed to be associated with them and you want to run away from them at every turn. And that's just a smear campaign by Satan to get us to never share our faith. Though I do want to say that we want to address the problems that we have that would cause us to care so much what other people think. We really are hoping that the other things that you are learning in this school will help to shore you up so that you will have emotional healing so you won't care so much what other people think. We're hoping that you'll begin to hear God's voice and to see into the supernatural so that as you become more and more aware of what God is doing in the other world, right around you as you walk around, you will actually see him pointing people out to you that he would like to have you talk to and share the gospel with. Or it could just be a Christian who's down, backslidden or downtrodden, and he wants you to bless them. And I'm going to give you some examples of all of that. But as you grow in the whole package, like we've said from the beginning with the four living creatures, we want to help to train you in this whole package of aspects of God's character that he wants you to grow in and he wants to mentor you in. That's why we're talking about evangelism right here, because that's really part of the lion in taking over territory for God and in being powerfully impactful here on earth. And so I want to encourage you to, and this will be definitely in our personal application questions, to go before God and ask him to help you to begin to have that love for others based on his love for you, based on his love for others. At times, if you will open your heart to this, to both letting God love you to the maximum and opening up your heart, say, Lord, help me to feel about somebody that I'm around. Help me to feel about them the way that you feel about them. You will find yourself falling in love with people around you. Here's one instance of that happening to me. Gary and I were playing tennis together, and it was over at a little local neighborhood tennis courts. And the guy that we were playing against, his partner wasn't his wife. His tennis partner wasn't his wife. His wife was sitting on the sidelines. And as we were playing our match, I couldn't stop glancing over at her. There seemed to be some divine heavenly pull for me to keep looking over at her. And I just felt such love for the woman. And I realized that God was putting his love for her on me in that instant. So after a match was over, it was about maybe 9:30 at night, and I said to this guy that we were playing against, hey, I said, I'd like to meet your wife. And so we walked off the court, and we went over to the little pavilion next to the courts where she was sitting, and he introduced us, and we said hello, and we sat there and chatted. Well, it turns out she had stage 4 cancer. She was very close to going on to be with the Lord, and the love that I felt for her, we said, could we just pray for you for encouragement? And of course, we asked her if she knew the Lord, and she did. And we were able to pray for her and to pray for her husband. And it was such a beautiful, beautiful moment of having an opportunity to bless someone who really needed a touch by God. But the thing that was so special for me in that moment as well was that I got just a glimpse of how God feels about people. And, you know, when we're doing ministry, whether it's evangelism or counseling or service, whatever it is, it's nice to be able at times to have the feeling of love and concern for that person that God has. Because that will fuel you to care for people in a whole different way than if you're doing ministry because you feel like you should, or you feel like you ought to because you won't have value if you don't. It's a whole different type of ministry. So I just challenge you to seek God about getting connected to his great big heart of love. There is nothing else like it. And then, of course, you realize, well, that's how he feels about me as well. So anyway, the first step in beginning to do evangelism, it would be a good idea to make sure you understand the gospel message yourself and that you can present it clearly. And there are innumerable resources out there. Rodney Howard Brown has a simple little prayer that you can share with people. There's the old standard 4 spiritual laws. Richard, many years ago, did Evangelism Explosion, which has a system. I know Gary and I were trained by InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, and we did some training weekends called Bible and Life Weekends. And there they gave us a simple little Bible study to do with people. And we were back in college when we were doing that. I'll never forget my zeal in the beginning for doing evangelism. And I asked one of my English professors if he would let me come to his office and share a little study with him. And he said yes. And so I went and I did one of these Bible and Life studies with that English professor. And I'm sure he was shocked by the content of it. But I just felt like if I have these tools, it'll make it a lot easier for me to share the gospel with people. And probably when you're starting, it's good to have those tools like the 4 spiritual laws or some kind of little outline of how to share your faith. I mean, the Lord sets the bar so incredibly low that somebody can just, please save me, please remember me in paradise. Oh, that was good enough for the thief on the cross. And so I don't think we have to put too much emphasis on how elaborate our presentation is. I have met people, well, no, I won't be praying with them until I give them, you know, the thorough understanding of what the word repentance means and lead them through a long, long repentance. And I just don't agree with that. I remember over the years that in my own life, there were a whole lot of sins that I wasn't even aware that they were sins until maybe 5, 10, 15 years into my Christian life, and then some. I don't think I realized that malice, I didn't even know what it was, or that it was a sin until after I'd been a Christian maybe like 20 years. So the fact these people had that they're going to thoroughly get the person to repent of all these sins, many of which the person probably isn't even aware are sins. Let's leave a little room for the Holy Spirit to do his job and not try to micromanage the whole process. I believe that somebody saying a very simple prayer, inviting Christ to come into their heart, to forgive their sins, I think God is all over that prayer. Oh, that's good enough for me. And from that point, the Holy Spirit is able to come in, and then the Holy Spirit begins to convict of sin and to try to lead the person into more resources and deeper relationship with God. And let's not take it upon ourselves that we have to make criteria for someone being saved that the Lord hasn't, okay? Let's let the Holy Spirit be in charge of drawing them deeper and closer to God as the person is ready. I know Heidi Baker herself obviously doesn't get everybody to repent of everything, because she had a church that was located in a whorehouse for a while. And so, you know, people were turning tricks and then coming into worship service, and it took a while before they closed that church and opened another one somewhere else. Let's give the Holy Spirit an opportunity to work with people and not feel that it's all up to us. So anyway, getting a tool, that's the first thing. Get yourself educated with some kind of tool to learn how to share the gospel. And then the second thing that's very important in sharing our faith is to pray and ask the Lord to give us opportunities and to be willing and open to sharing with people, and to be praying that people that are around us would start to come to know Christ. A third thing that we can do is just in the everyday things that we do in life, whether you go to a restaurant, ride in a taxi cab, shop and talk to the clerks. If you have friends and you ride in a car with them occasionally, or you sit around at tennis matches, everything I'm telling you right now, these are times when I have shared my faith with people. And it's not always sharing my faith. Sometimes it's encouragement. Sometimes if the person is a Christian, they need a touch from God. They need some prayer. And if we just make ourselves available, knowing that God is right here with us, He dwells in us by the Holy Spirit, and He's interested in the people around us, and He will guide us and lead us in touching them and sharing with them. I remember years ago when I still played singles in tennis, I had a tennis match with this woman. I think she was from China, but after the match, I guess it was right around the time Mel Gibson's movie The Passion was out, and so I had just seen it, and I asked her, I said, and that's a great opening, by the way, for talking to someone about the Lord. I said, did you see the movie The Passion? And she said, no, what's it about? Well, there's an opener. So I started to tell her what it was about, and I asked her if she ever heard of Jesus, and she said, oh, yes, yes, I have heard of Jesus, and apparently she is married to someone who is a Christian, who goes to a church, a denomination whose name I won't mention, and you'll know why in a moment. And so anyway, she went to church with her husband, and of course, she told me that at church she had heard about Jesus and how you needed to believe in Jesus and that people who believed in Jesus would go to heaven. And she asked her husband, and the poor fellow, based on what he had learned at church, told her, oh, no, no, that's not for you. You know, people like you, they don't do that. They don't go there. And she was rather sad that this was not for her, since it sounded pretty nice. So I had to spend a little time assuring her that her husband, sweet as he may be, was terribly misinformed about the fact that she could or could not go to heaven. So I explained to her why Jesus came and his dying on the cross for her sins and how much he loved her, and that if she wanted to repent of her sins and ask him to come into her heart, that she could have his presence inside of her beginning now, and that she would go to heaven. Well, that was the best news she had heard in a long, long time. And so we prayed together. And then, because I was pretty sure that I wouldn't see her again, she lived in another part of town. And I said, listen, I said, there's something else that people do after they've accepted Christ. And that's that they get baptized with water to symbolize that they want to die to their old life and be born to God. And it's a very powerful thing to do. And I said, would you like to be baptized? And she said, yeah, sure, why not? So we had some, I had some water left from my tennis mat to my water jug. And I just took a couple of great big handfuls of the water from my water jug and I poured it on her head. And I baptized her in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And that was that. So that was a perfect occasion for this person who didn't know Christ to come to him. In fact, another time I was at a tennis match and I was the captain of the team and I was sitting on the sideline waiting to play. And it was another person, I think she was from Indonesia or Malaysia, I can't remember now. But she came to the match and we sat on the sideline and I got to share the gospel with her and lead her to Christ. There have been times in restaurants where I asked the waitress if I could pray for her, if she knows that Jesus Christ died for her sins. You can leave a waitress a big tip and let her know, I want to bless you today because God loves you and he wants to bless you. Just minimal things like that to spread around the good news of how God does love people and care about them. Gary has led many a taxi driver all over the world to Christ. Of course, he has the advantage in some places. He knows the language, if it's Spanish or French, and he knows Portuguese and Arabic and all those things. But good heavens. I got to lead a taxi driver to Christ. I was at a conference. And the taxi driver had just driven somebody to the conference. And I remember it was pouring rain. And I had just gotten there. And I was going back and forth carrying my luggage into the room. And I'm trying to remember how we started to talk because I hadn't taken the taxi. Oh, I guess I was walking past his taxi and he rolled down his window and he said, hey, he said, what is this conference about? And I said, I didn't care, it was raining. I thought, oh, goody, an opportunity to talk to this man about the Lord. And I said, oh, it's a conference about how people have deep wounding inside because they didn't feel loved by people in their family or they were somehow neglected or abused. And this is a conference about how people can have healing in coming into relationship with Jesus Christ. And he was very interested to hear about that. And so, of course, I asked him, I said, well, do you have a personal relationship with Christ? And he said, no. And so I shared the gospel with him, and he said the sinner's prayer. You know, I'm getting pouring, you know, I'm getting totally soaked in the rain. I don't care. I'm having the time of my life. And he tells me a little bit of his story, and it turns out that when he was about, I think it's hard to remember details, but he was really little, like 2 or 3 years old, his mom gave him away, and he never saw her again. And so we prayed over that wounding in him, and I encouraged him that he could have healing from all those woundings now that he had a relationship with Jesus Christ and that the Lord Jesus could begin to restore his soul, as it says in Psalm 23. See, these are just everyday moments when you come across people's paths and you look for openings. If you're looking for those openings, what's this conference about? Where do you go to church? And as you get better in hearing God's voice, he's going to help you a lot. Now, one time, Gary and I were playing a tennis match, and in the middle of the match, God started sharing with me some information about our opponent. And I hear the Lord say, that guy's a pilot. Oh, He's divorced. Okay. He has two children. He's worried about his children. I'm just getting this information. And I didn't feel it was fair to talk to the guy in the middle of the tennis match because that might distract him and give us an unfair advantage. So I waited till after the match was over. And fortunately, his partner walked away. She wasn't happy because they lost. And I went over to the guy and I said, "Hey," I said, are you a pilot?" He goes, Yeah, I work for American Airlines." Oh. I said, "Are you divorced?" He said, Yeah, I'm divorced." I said, "This is funny." I said, "But sometimes God speaks to me about people. He told me you were divorced and that you had two children. Is that right?" He goes, "Yeah, I have a little boy and a little girl." I said, "Well, God spoke to me and said that you're worried about your children. Is that true?" I mean, the guy's look on the guy's face is like, "What is this?" He goes, "Well, yeah, I am." And then I asked if he knew the Lord, and he said he did. And I said, "Well," I said, "how about if I just pray with you for you in your relationship with God and then also for your children since you're worried about them and God seems to want to help you with that." So we had a little prayer time. And that'll happen to me also in stores when I'm, in line at Walmart or wherever I'm shopping, Kroger. And sometimes I'll ask the person if I could pray for them or if the Lord gives me something about them. I remember this one clerk. I said, "Are you someone who's talented, a talented singer?" She almost fainted. She goes, "Well, yes, I am." I said, "Well, I was standing here and the Lord told me that you have a beautiful, beautiful voice and that he loves it when you sing." That really touched her. It's bringing home to people that God is personal, not, and he's interested in them. So anyway, here's another thing that couples can do together. If you live in a neighborhood where you may know your neighbors or you may not, but you can go door to door and just ask and say, "Look, I live in the neighborhood here, and my husband and I, or my wife and I, we're just going around asking our neighbors, are there any things going on in your life that we could be praying for you about?" Now, sometimes people will invite you in and let you pray with them, and other times, they don't want to let you in, but they'll tell you, "Oh yeah, we have a son who's in Iraq," or, "We have grandchildren that we don't get to see very often," or whatever it is. Just showing people that you care about them and that God cares about them, it opens a lot of doors to have that opportunity to share our faith with people. Something else that we've done over the years, we've participated. It got taken over by just one particular church now, but for many years in our community, several organizations and churches would come together 3 times a year to have giveaways. And one of the giveaways was at Christmas when we would give, I think the families were recommended by DFACS that would come and we would give them Christmas gifts for their children. Another giveaway was for school supplies in the summer, in July. And then there was another giveaway of like a food bank giving away food. And we would participate with that. They had a hard time finding people who wanted to come and to share their faith with people. There's all these organizations that are there to, excuse me, to get them hooked, connected to different services. And then we were the last people they would see. And we would ask them if there was anything we could pray about for them and their family. And then we'd have an opportunity to ask them if they knew the Lord. We got a lot of salvations like that. That was a wonderful opportunity. I think we participated in that several years. And then another one, there was a food bank that operated for several months and then ended up closing. And that was a great opportunity to pray with people, to lead people to Christ. If you go out looking, and especially if you pray, ask and it shall be given to you, seek and you will find, Knock and the door shall be open to you. You can find opportunities if you want to share your faith. It's not something that is unnatural or has to be, but mostly it's going to start with your desire. And then you're asking God to lead you to those situations and then equipping yourself so that when you are in the situation, does it ever not turn out well? Yeah, I remember one time I walked up to this woman in a restaurant and asked her if I don't remember what I said. It was several years ago. But she said, no, I'm busy right now. I don't want you to talk to me or pray for me. She was really rude. And I even could feel demons around her kind of clawing at me. So that didn't feel good. But I have to say, mostly, people are receptive. And people can feel that you're loving on them, that you're interested in them. People do respond to that, and occasionally you have people, and that there have been, you know, certain times when I approached somebody or said something and it wasn't well received, but that is by far a very small percentage of the experiences that I have had. People who are sick. I had an experience recently. I was at a home goods store, what do you call it, the home improvement store, and the lady waiting on me, she had a brace on her arm. She had carpal tunnel syndrome, and she said she was going to have surgery. Now, I asked her if she knew the Lord, and she said yes. But I explained to her that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that he would like to heal her. And I used the Randy Clark model of healing, where you ask the person, did something happen in your life around the time that you started having this problem? And she reported there had been a family problem that she was most distressed about. And so first we prayed about that family problem, and gave it up to the Lord for him to be the savior of that situation. And after we did a prayer of repentance and deliverance for that, then we prayed for her hand. And she could feel all this heat going up and down her hand. And by the time we were done praying, her hand was healed. It was restored. It didn't hurt anymore. So that also would have been a great opportunity to lead someone to Christ if she didn't already know the Lord. Don't be afraid of failing. Don't be afraid what people are going to think of you. We want to love the Lord more than we love our own reputation. And he loves it when we're zealous for him, because he is certainly zealous for us. Look at what he went through in order to make sure that we could have a connection with him and that we could be loved. And we want to go and talk to him about that if we're lukewarm, if we're not really interested in sharing with anybody this incredibly good news. I'll give you a couple of these examples back when I was in college, and I suppose it's like that now at college, that many of the professors are so anti Jesus Christ. But I had one professor who barely had time to teach the history and philosophy of education because he spent the majority of his time tearing down Christianity and Jesus Christ. And he would say, you know, it was this incredible whipping of people to that, oh, they are so bad that Jesus had to die for them. He would say that. And I got so tired of listening to that guy harp about someone that I loved a lot, Jesus Christ. So I did it in fear and trembling. The guy was pretty fierce. I raised my hand, and he goes, what? He wasn't very nice. I said, I just can't understand why he would take the trouble to die for me if he thought I was so disgusting and shameful. Oh, gosh. The guy just hit the roof. He started screaming at me. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. Unfortunately, in those days, I didn't know how to bind demons. No demons can manifest when somebody thinks of me, speaks of me, or is in my presence. But that guy certainly had a getting caboodle of demons around him. But it was worth challenging him, at least to give the other people in the class a possibility of knowing that that's ridiculous. The guy really wasn't making any sense. He was just a bully who was trying to indoctrinate and brainwash us against the Lord. Then I had another professor, a French professor, an existentialist who loved to sit there and bring up all the absurdities of life and how there was no meaning. And our assignment was to write out phrases in French, and at that time in college I wasn't very good in French, statements of the absurd. And what he was looking for was like, this is what is absurd. Two lovers are standing on the beach embracing, and a boulder falls off a cliff above them and kills them. Okay, you can again imagine what's in these people's heads that asked you to do an assignment like that. So I went home that night and I thought, okay, help me, Holy Spirit. I got to come up with a sentence of what is the absurd. Oh, the Holy Spirit gave me a real good sentence of what is the absurd. So I did the best I could writing it in French. And the next day when I went into class and he asked me, what's your sentence for what is absurd? This was my sentence. All those things which refuse to recognize God are absurd. Oh, my teacher was not pleased with me. And he was sputtering and practically foaming at the mouth. And all he could say was, well, that's absurd. That's absurd. And I said, well, I thought that was the point. So anyway, if you let the Holy Spirit help you, just like it says in the Bible, that he will give you utterance. He will give you what to say in the right moment. And it's just like with prophecy. I hope by this point in this class, you are trying to practice hearing God's voice. You're trying to practice prophesying, doing words of knowledge. And he will give you utterance. My sheep, hear my voice. And he's right there with you. The Holy Spirit will give you boldness. The Holy Spirit will guide you and lead you in all of these things. You're not alone. He's not sending you off to do battle by yourself. He's right there in front of you leading the way. Oh, I want to tell you something else that happens to me. And I'm going to pray impartation for you that this would happen for you too. But many times when God wants me to either pray for somebody or, you know, give them a big tip or bless them somehow, that person, it's like there's like a sparkliness about the person. It's like they're highlighted to me. I was sitting in a restaurant one day, and this family was walking across the parking lot. I could see them through the window, and they caught my eye. It's like all of a sudden, I just felt like, oh, I just love you people. And they had like that sparkly, highlighted quality to me. And so whenever they came in the restaurant, I decided to run out to my car and to get some cash. They had a little baby girl with them. She's maybe like 2 years old. And they looked like people who could use some money. They didn't look like they had much money. And so I went out to my car and I just got some cash. And I came back in and I said, you know, would you please let me buy lunch for your little girl? They were so receptive and gracious, and they wanted the little girl to thank me. And I didn't get a chance to pray with them or say something to them, but it was an instance where I think God just wanted to bless them a little bit. And who knows, if I go back to that restaurant, I might see them there again. But all of a sudden, I feel like I'm in love with somebody. Or all of a sudden, they have like this light quality around them that catches my attention. And that I've come to the point of realizing now that means that I have something for that person, whether to share the gospel with them, to pray with them, to bless them somehow. And Heavenly Father, I ask that you would share with all those that are listening right now that ability to recognize when there's somebody around them that you want to touch through them. That you would share with them whatever sensitivity, insight, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discernment, spiritual sight, whatever it is, Lord, whatever things you've helped me to have to help equip me to do evangelism, that you would give them that, give them the right resources for learning how to share their gospel, give them a studious heart to want to pursue that and want to equip themselves. Give them whatever they need to help make this happen. And most of all, Lord, give them a deeper, deeper awareness of your love for them, of your zeal for them, and then also your love for other people and your zeal for those other people getting to go to heaven as well. Holy Spirit, just come on everybody who's listening to this right now and touch their hearts and lead them in this process of becoming more and more lionish in being able, together with you, to take territory for the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. And I'm going to let Richard add some now.